All of that is in the future, though. Right now, we are joined on the air by Susan Brown, the one, the only director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, for another round of Talking Books. Hello.
Yay.
I don't know why I'm applauding today.
That's
the second time
I've
done that on the air. I have no good reason why. Anyway, how are you?
I'm outstanding. After
that
intro, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good.
Excellent.
That was CNR by Weird Al Yankovic, the intro music, by the way, you were asking.
So what's that a riff on?
That is a generic White Stripes parody.
Oh.
And I love the White Stripes, but that Weird Al parody might be, if the White Stripes just recorded that song, it would probably be in my top 10.
Okay.
It's a real good song just in and of itself, but it's like a White Stripes parody all about Charles Nelson Reilly, because of course.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love Charles Nelson Reilly. Yeah. So when I heard it, I thought that it was Pictures of Matchstick Men by, of course, the late great 80s, or maybe it was early 90s. Camper Van Beethoven?
I feel like we've had this conversation before. Yeah. Because
you
mentioned Camper Van Beethoven.
Maybe you played that song before?
Yes. Okay. I don't know when Camper Van Beethoven would ever come up in conversation except in this particular circumstance and moment.
Right. And it's like one of those bands that they weren't so big that everybody was really into, but like a small contingent of my friends in high school were really into that one cassette that we all passed around.
Oh,
yes,
so
I'm
it's
that
like
old.
They might be giants that way.
Well, but they were bigger,
they
right?
Were bigger.
Camper
yes,
Van Beethoven
yes.
had, I mean, had, I think that was their one hit, Pictures of Matchstick Men.
Yeah. And I don't even know who or what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Maybe we should stop talking about it.
All right. So cool. Talking books. But before we do, we got some cool stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks, right? A couple of days in the case of the Friends book sale.
So we're going to talk about book sales, and then we're going to talk about nerds.
Nerds.
Dorks and geeks.
Yes.
Because we love them all.
Yes.
Okay. So first, Berks, or my GERD. It's Berks.
Oh,
sorry. When you live with a seventh grader.
I'll show myself that.
When you live with a seventh grader, all you do is talk in meme talk. So you know the Irma GERD books meme?
Irma GERD Berks,
That's right. That's all we do right now is talk in memes.
I can see that. Yeah.
They think I'm old because I often reference that meme. But
that's
I'm a librarian.
Why you're old.
Come on. It's because I'm old.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm right here, Aaron.
Yes.
I heard that.
Okay. See, the hearing was the first thing to go. Apparently not.
Okay.
All right. So, Irma GERD Berks.
Yes, Irma GERD Berks. the Berg Berk sale is this weekend. Our friends of the library are not only the greatest friends group in the state, if not the world.
They are.
They also put on the greatest book sale in the state,
if not the world.
Friday at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Friday.
Pay for the whole seat. You'll only use the edge. It's the Friends book sale.
Can you sit down for this? I feel like you should be walking around looking at books.
Actually, there are no seats because we clear everything out.
You have like five books in front of you.
Fill the room with tables full of books.
All right.
What are we even saying
right now?
I
have no idea.
Okay, I'm going to go into serious mode. This Friday,
first time for
Saturday
everything.
And Sunday, it is once again time for the big book sale put on by our fabulous friends of the library.
Yes.
On Friday, the sale is from 3 till 5:30. It is open to only friends, but guess what?
Can you join
You can become a friend at the door.
What?
You can become a friend at the door.
I'd just like to point out that serious mode lasted for 18 seconds, y'all.
I'm trying to keep it together.
Right.
Okay, so friends only, but it's the first day. I mean, there's good stuff all week, but being a part of the first day's book sale is super fun because everybody lines up. They get there early. You wait till they say, release the hounds, and then you get to go in and see all the stuff first.
Nice.
So joining the friends is not only a great way to get in the first day of the book sale, it's also a great way to support the community through the library, because like 90% or more of what they raise goes directly to programs and services at the library. So if you want to come the first day and join, it's like $15 for an individual, $35 for a family, something in that range. So it's super cheap, and it's a great way to support the group and the community. And then Saturday, it's open all day, 10 till 5. And then on Sunday, that's a super fun day. That's bag day.
Bag
day. Everything that's left on Sunday, bring your own bag. You fill your own bag for $5 from 11 till 3, and there's still great stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
So there's great deals to be had.
And they put more out. So,
yes,
like, you come on Friday and you see all that. You can come on Saturday. There'll be new stuff there that wasn't there on Friday.
They have so many books.
They really do.
It's bonkers. So this might be the biggest sale they've ever had. I believe they have, I think, over 20,000 books
wow.
to sell.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they'll have another sale in December.
Okay.
But this is a whopper. So
yeah.
Come early, come often.
Is it a quarterly thing now? Because I know they do the big ones in the fall and the spring.
They do it 3 times a year
okay.
now. I think they used to do 4, but they now have the book sale.
Right.
Or the bookstore.
The bookstore
yes.
downstairs, yeah.
So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come all 3 days. A lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing they're doing is they're trying out some new fun and interesting ways to raise funds and engage people and let them know about the Friends. So they're doing what they're calling a reader's raffle. So they have 3 gift baskets that they have put together of their different themes. They're all based on Nancy Pearl, who's a very famous librarian and book reviewer for NPR. She's got a novel coming out soon. But they took her recommendations and they sort of thematized them. So they have this beautiful basket that's all about travel.
Oh, awesome.
And it's in a nice little suitcase looking thing.
Nice.
It's got travel reading lights and books about travel and luggage tags and all kinds of cute things. One's a mystery basket and one's a kids basket.
Nice.
So at the sale and then throughout the month in the bookstore, people can buy raffle tickets. So you could buy like 3 tickets and then put them in the running for the basket that you want. So that's a little addition this year. And then I think maybe just the first day for the sale, we're going to have the circulator parked out there because the Friends
nice.
Provided about $15,000 of the $100,000 that made that possible just for people to interact with the circulator.
Awesome.
So there's some more fun stuff happening in addition to the big book sale, which is Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Awesome. So definitely check that out. Do you want to do our recommendations today are based on Friends because of the Friends of the Library book sale.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do that now and
sure.
then talk about our next big thing after
nerds.
That?
Nerds.
Irma Gerd, Berg Searle at the book
nerds. Sale. Okay. I have 4 books.
Okay.
That came to mind when I thought about Friends.
Yep.
Both are classics in and of themselves. 2 are for kids, 2 are for adults.
Okay, awesome.
So should I go first?
Okay. Yeah, go for it. Because I've got 3 sort of immediately sprang to mind when I think about Friends. They're all young adults, I guess. So there's probably going to be some overlap, but go for it.
So I'll do adult, and then you do young adult, and then
okay.
I'll do kids, and that will be our brilliant progression
there we go.
Of our book recommendation. So
like
I have
Benjamin
2.
Benjamin Button Friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love it. So my first pair mm-hmm. is books for adults, well, also about kids. Anyways, whatever. They're great books for whomever. I thought the first book that came to mind about friendship for me was Anne of Green Gables.
Okay.
Written in 1908 by a Canadian author, Lucy Maud Montgomery. It is one of those books like Little Women
yes.
and Jane Austen that is beloved by generations of women. It holds up so, so well. It's such a great book. There are so many in the series. It recounts the adventures of a young girl, Anne Shirley. She's, I think, 11 or 12 when we meet her, and she's orphaned, and she's sent to live with Matthew and Marilla Cuthbert. Cuthbert, that's a fun word to say on the radio.
Cuthbert, yeah.
They're a sort of cantankerous older brother and sister who live together on a farm in Avonlea. And so she goes there. And so the story is about her coming of age, her relationship with them. And, of course, there's romance. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. A lot of people came into it, like I did, actually, from the PBS series that was on
mm-hmm.
more than 20 years ago.
Nice.
And then, of course, recently Netflix redid it, which I think there were some mixed reviews,
yeah,
mixed feelings
yeah.
for the diehard Anne fans out
yeah.
there. But Anne of Green Gables came to mind. If you've never read it or if you haven't reread it recently, it's a fabulous book and series.
All right.
And then the modern classic that made me think after that, also about female friendships, is a book called My Brilliant Friend by an Italian author named Elena Ferrante. And this ended up being either a trilogy or a quartet of books. HBO's got this in production. This was one of the big, big books of the last year or two. And it's the story of 2 friends. It's set in Italy. And they're 2 friends who meet when they're young. And it's the story of their friendship and how they diverge and converge over years and decades.
Nice.
So it's a beautiful setting in Italy. It's a really heartfelt wonderful writing style and just a really great story. So if you love books about female friendship and coming of age and all of that, definitely recommend My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante.
Awesome. Okay. So talking about just sort of classic friendships, I was trying to think of a nonfiction book about friendship. And I was racking my brain, like, okay, so The Founding Generation, like all of the frenemy groups in there. Founding Brothers by Joseph Ellis, I think, might be the best one that comes to mind, because Jefferson and Madison were best friends forever. Madison and Hamilton were for 10 years, and then they were enemies. Jefferson and Adams went back and forth. Like, the relationships between those people were fascinating. And, like, all of the institutions that develop in American government revolve around just these friend relationships and how they evolve and devolve and degenerate and reform again. So that's a cool nonfiction book. For fiction books, like Tom and Huck, Mark Twain's two books, and Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, obviously. Lord of the Rings, because you got Frodo and Sam, which is a great friendship pair. But I just want to go back to Harry Potter. Not so much because, like, the whole series, obviously, but not so much because of the Ron, Hermione, Harry triumvirate, but because of Luna Lovegood.
See, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at you like you know,
like,
what I'm talking about.
I'm kind
about.
Of like,
that's
my
right.
eyes are just roaming.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I keep
I don't
forgetting
know who
about that.
That.
Yeah, Luna Lovegood is this really awesome character, and she starts out, when do we meet her? Book three, I think.
It was totally book three,
it
yes.
It had to have
oh,
been
yeah,
book
absolutely.
Three, yeah, which, of course, was titled the...
The Harry Potter and the Luna Lovegood machine.
Yes, the Luna Lovegood machine.
Stone.
There is a fan fiction somewhere, I have no doubt. No, but she's, like, introduced, like, this weird character, but then we just grow to love her very quickly, and she just becomes this pivotal character later on. But her, like, whole MO is driven by the fact that, like, these are her friends, and she's, like, willing to just dive into anything for them. And she's one of the great characters in the whole book series. I promise you, when you get around to reading them, you're going to love Luna Lovegood.
It's a thing now. I'm never going to.
I know.
So my question is, do you think, thinking of Founding Brothers and, you know, all of those, that cast of characters, you mentioned the term frenemies. Do you think they had, like, a word for that?
Ooh.
Right? It would be great to look into that and see if they had coined a term. I mean, it's certainly not frenemy.
Right. No,
was
definitely
there some
would
colloquialism
be. Oh,
at the
man.
Time?
For, like, we're friends, but we also kind of despise each
right.
other. Oh, that's good. When
we'll
did the word frenemy become a thing?
It's fairly recent, like, it came
right?
and went. Like,
yeah.
Like, post-BFF, but then it quickly went out of...
Right.
I mean, right.
But it's still a useful word. Like, I don't think we've found a replacement word for frenemy, right?
Yeah, but it's one of those words, like, with the meme things, when you live with a seventh grader,
yeah.
If I said frenemy, he would probably, like, roll his eyes, like,
that's
oh,
so,
mom.
Oh, that's so 2011.
I mean, I say any word. And
right,
it's
right,
like,
right.
Oh,
no,
mom.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so
that's
I've
good.
Got two
know.
More. These
yes,
are kids' books,
go for
a pair.
It.
So my classic kids' book that came to mind. So I started thinking about friends, and then I started thinking about imaginary friends, which are sometimes the best kind of friend.
Yes.
So, imaginary friends, I thought of first Where the Wild Things Are, right?
Oh,
so
nice.
Max
yeah.
mouths off to his mom, and he gets sent up to his room, and then he goes on this adventure
yes.
with these awesome, scary, boffo imaginary friends.
Yes.
So, of course, that's a great one. But if you don't have a picture book reader at home, you may not know about a more recent one. This won the Caldecott Medal in 2014. It's by a wonderful picture book author named Dan Santat. And it's called The Adventures of Beagle, the Unimaginary Friend.
Ooh.
It is such a good picture book. Wonderfully illustrated. Beagle is this little, like, marshmallow ghosty kind of guy. But the story is Beagle is not born of a kid's mind. He's born on the island of imaginary friends.
Mm.
And they sort of get selected by a kid, and then they go into their world to be their friend.
Oh,
but
awesome.
Beagle never gets picked.
Aww.
So instead, he sets off on a journey, and he ends up in the big city, which looks a lot like New York
New
City,
York, yeah.
and it's his adventures to find
his that's awesome.
Friend.
That's so
it's
clever.
It's such a good book.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a great, great book. So
okay,
so
you brought up imaginary friends, though. You can't bring up imaginary friends without mentioning Hobbes.
Yeah,
like Calvin and Hobbes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then just, I don't know how thinking about imaginary friends reminded me of Bridge to Terabithia, because they're not imaginary, but the world is. So that's
right.
another great book about friendship, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Those are our book recommendations.
Should we talk about nerds now?
We're not done this time.
We're not done this time.
No, we're talking about nerds.
Yes. Right. I'm sorry. I thought usually we recommend books
and then we're done. But
no, but wait.
We recommend books, but wait, there's more.
I'm on the edge of my seat, which I paid the full price for, but I only need the edge.
Yeah, that's how we make our money here.
Okay, so nerds.
Yes.
I love nerds.
If you are a nerd, listen closely because this is for you.
That's right.
Much like the entire rest of the show.
Exactly.
Pretty much the entire show is for nerds, but this especially.
We are super excited, and we meaning many partners in this,
Six.
A loose coalition of partners,
yes.
are bringing something called Nerd Night to Chapel Hill. So this is a scoop, man.
Yeah.
Scooping, breaking news right here. You're the first to get this news.
This is on Facebook, or
It's on Facebook. So, anyways, Nerd Night is a national and international thing that happens. Mm-hmm. The sort of founder of Nerd Night is actually now, I believe, at ECU. I think, but Nerd Night was founded, and what it is, it happens all over the country and the world. It's always at a bar,
mm-hmm.
so it's always at a fun setting, and it's generally you bring together. We're using the model of bringing three nerds to talk for 20 minutes each about whatever they are nerdy about.
Nice.
So the idea is to connect people to interesting topics, to interesting people in a really laid-back setting. So you're learning, but you're not in a classroom. You're not at a library program. You're at a bar in the community, and you're having fun. So people call it, I've heard it described as like the Discovery Channel, but with beer.
Nice.
So it's super fun, and it's also sort of about embracing whatever you are nerdy about. So if you, I don't know, collect, if you've been collecting a certain type of moth for 25 years and you know everything there is to know about that moth,
yes.
and you want to speak for 20 minutes about it and can entertain a crowd at a bar, call me. So we
there
need speakers.
Go.
So
I actually don't want to hear from that person about moths. I want to hear from that person about the experience of catching one.
There you go.
Right?
Right?
That's what they're really an expert on. Like that rush that you get when you catch a moth.
Yeah, there you go. I don't even know about that. So we got together with the Downtown Partnership, the Moorhead,
really
some
cool.
folks from the university. Mm-hmm. The idea is that it's just a loose coalition to kind of launch it, and then hopefully the community will really keep it going. So the first one, Nerd Night the First, is happening next Wednesday, September 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be on the second Wednesday of the month in the evening, but we're going to rotate venue. So the first one's at the Baxter,
right.
But it'll be a different venue from October, November, and December. We've got them booked, but I forget what they are.
Oh, no.
So next Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Baxter, Nerd Night the First, and we're sort of going for a thematic program. So this one is called Undercurrents, Music and the Masses. So we have Jess Dilday is speaking about the art of parties, building club nights, and safer spaces. So she's this DJ who's going to talk about the art of parties.
Like
Michael Palm is going to talk about the vinyl revival and the future of independent music. So he's somebody who has a deep set of knowledge about vinyl records. And then Michael, I'm not going to say his last name right, Michael Figuera.
I think it's Figuera.
He's at UNC, I believe, and he's talking about music's role in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Okay.
Which are just, so they're each going to speak for 20 minutes about these topics. Everybody gets to have a drink and mingle, and they're super fun. I have been involved in Nerd Nights in a different community, and they're always really fun. And I think Chapel Hill is perfect for one. So
that's really
come
cool.
out next Wednesday. I'll be asking you to shamelessly promote it and speak at a future one.
Yes.
And if folks hear this and they think, I'm really nerdy and I'd like to get up and talk for 20 minutes about my nerdiness, please get in touch.
Do it. Awesome. So next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Baxter. It's going to be great.
It's going to be super fun.
Awesome. Perfect place for like a nerd.
Right?
Like nerdy and bar.
That's probably the nerdiest bar around.
It might be the nerdiest bar around.
Yeah.
And we mean that with all the love in the
world.
Oh,
absolutely.
It's great. Yeah, terrific
absolutely.
Place. Absolutely. Awesome.
So that's next Wednesday. And then this Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Big book sale.
Big book sale.
Berg Berkshire.
Berg Berkshire and nerd.
All right. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.